Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and earned a bachelor's degree in business and sports management from the University of Massachusetts. He's worked for the Philadelphia Phillies, Colorado Avalanche, Denver Nuggets, Baltimore Ravens, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Since 2011, he's been the president and CEO of Palace Sports and Entertainment and holds the rare distinction of having experience in all four major league sports. His name, Dennis Mannion. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Dennis Mannion, the president and CEO of Palace Sports and Entertainment. Dennis, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Well, Jack, obviously it's an honor to be here, and this beautiful view from the WJR building is tremendous.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood?
Yeah, my mom and dad are from New York. They were born and raised there. I was born in New York, and then maybe at the ripe old age of 3 months, moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we didn't realize we were moving to the epicenter of sports at the time in the 60s and 70s. But very rapidly, through dad and mom, I became a Steeler and Pirate fan. And they were just amazing parents in terms of parents who were balanced with education and sports. Fun to grow up with those guys. So later, in my high school years, my dad started to look at jobs out this way. And when I graduated from high school, he announced to me that they were moving to Farmington Hills. They lived here for 15 years. He worked for Crowley's.
Where did you get your love for sports, Dennis?
You know, it started, if you can believe this, the Pirates won the World Series in 1960. And I was an attendee of that World Series at 1 year and 2 months old. My parents had gone to the games, and I got to attend one or two of them because they didn't have anybody else to babysit me. So it started with the Pirates and a love and an affinity for that team. The Steelers had some tough years then, but I used to go to the games at Pitt Stadium at the time when I was young, and then eventually Three Rivers. So got a real affinity through the pro teams, but also the high school that I went to was a big sports high school and a big feeder system for college sports. So I got into it there too.
I think Mazeroski hit that walk-off home run.
He did. He did, in
against
fact.
The Yankees.
It's pretty wild. And a side story, which is kind of interesting, is we used to go to Ocean City, New Jersey, every summer for a vacation, toward the end of the summer, right around Labor Day. There was a toy store there on the boardwalk that was going out of business. And when I was 6 years old, my parents bought me a game called Be a Manager, which were a bunch of cards of every player in Major League Baseball, American and National League, from 1966. It was a dice game that you played, and I invented all kinds of fun games, you know, through the years, and kept a league. And interestingly, which all plays out later, when I went to the University of Pittsburgh, I used that game as the basis of a paper I wrote for an English literature class, and it was that professor that turned me on to UMass from Pitt to transfer to UMass to go to their sport management program.
You did that degree from UMass. How did you get your first job in sports management?
Well, interestingly, I went to UMass after a couple of years at Pitt. I was an econ student. And then this English literature teacher talked me into attempting to interview, at least, for a post at UMass in their sport management program. So I went off to up to Amherst and interviewed and got in there, and I had pretty exceptional grades from Pitt, and then had very, very good grades there at UMass. In fact, the funny side story is that after my first year at UMass, some of the professors had me grading the graduate student papers on the side for some money. So long and short of it is, I was there about a year and a half, and they had all but decided if they can't get me a job, they can't get anyone one. So they traveled me to the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, and Major League Baseball for internship posts, and I ended up getting a job with the Phillies.
You've got the rare distinction of having worked for all four major league sports. And recently you told me that hockey is fantastic to watch live, but not that popular nationally on TV. Whereas the NFL is good to watch live, but fantastic to watch on TV. Why?
Absolutely. I mean, football is, in my opinion, tailor-made for television. It's got an ebb and flow to it that gives you natural breaks to watch replays. And you can strategize right along with the players and the coaches on the field. So it's a perfect television game, where obviously hockey has a much more frenetic pace. It's a combination of what it would almost, it's symphonic, and at the same time, it's like jazz. The puck is moving all over the place and very tough to follow on the television. But as a live sport, it can't be beat.
What you've accomplished in a relatively short time is amazing. How have you done it?
Well, you know, over the years, I came to realize that I've got two different skill sets. One is to deliver a vision or a creative skill set, and the other one is operative. I'm a very good organizer, and I'm operational. So mixing the two skill sets, creative and organized, has been a weapon of sorts for me through the years. And I got lucky. I had great people to work with, starting at UMass, but then with the Phillies. They gave me an open canvas to develop ticketing programs when I was in ticket sales, and then merchandise programs and merchandise and promotional plans when I was in promotions. And you hear about all these different disciplines I was in. It's because the leadership there afforded me these opportunities to keep expanding the creativity and organizational skills. So that's the short answer are those two skill sets have helped.
We're talking to Dennis Mannion, who's worked for the Phillies, the Avalanche, the Nuggets, the Ravens, the president of the LA Dodgers. When we come back, we'll ask him why he took the job as CEO President of Pella Sports and Entertainment. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dennis Mannion, who since October 2011 has been the president and CEO of Pella Sports and Entertainment. You left Southern California.
Yes.
Sun, Venice Beach, to come to Detroit, take the job. Why?
Well, you know, the passion I have is for sports. I love it. I just absolutely love it. I got lucky. Everything seems to be ordered in my life. My parents moving here gave me a great excuse to come and visit them and go to Tigers games and Lions games and on an occasional Piston game as well. And the passion for sports was every bit as good as Pittsburgh and better because it's a bigger city and it's got more population. So I always knew that this was a fantastic sports city. And while I loved Los Angeles, I really, really enjoy Southern California. The passion for the sports team isn't as prominent. There are other things that they do, particularly outdoor recreation. So coming here was almost like coming to heaven in terms of a sports community to work in. So it was almost a no-brainer for me to accept the opportunity.
In your role today, you also oversee the DTE Energy Center, Meadowbrook Music Festival, which is on the Oakland University campus. Talk about those two venues.
Well, you know what's so interesting about this job? I had a taste of working on the entertainment side of the business as well as the sports side with the Avalanche and Nuggets because we built Pepsi Center and we booked it. And in doing that, I picked up a small passion for the entertainment side because the performers are doing the same inspirational things that the players do on the field or the ice or the court. And so getting here and blending the two assets, the powerful things that the performers do out at DTE and at Meadowbrook with what the athletes do on the court has been a thrill and a passion. Specifically, DTE, Pine Knob, whatever it's being called these days, we hope DTE because they are great partners of ours, is magical. I told a fellow today earlier that this thing measures up and goes beyond Hollywood Bowl. It's a phenomenal place to walk into a 97-acre campus. It just takes your level of peace to a higher level, and I think it puts our performers in a position to be the best they can be. Everything is thought out there. It's perfect.
Tell us about your boss, Tom Gores.
Well, Tom operates. I've been fortunate to work now for four different billionaires in my career, and Tom. I talk about that blend of having creative skill, visionary skills, and also having operational savvy. Tom's gifted. He takes that to an entirely different level. His instincts from a creative standpoint, his instincts on people are not only spot on, but almost spooky in terms of how quickly he can read a person. And on the other side of it, the guy reviews 33 different companies a weekend, their financial performance, and provides feedback on weekly calls on Monday mornings. So he's got this amazing brain, and with it comes a pretty big heart. I think he's purchased now, I believe, 8 companies here in Michigan, and of course the Palace and DT and Meadowbrook is a part of that asset. I think he did that because this is where he grew up, and it's where his heart is. And he is passionate about making Michigan all that it can be.
We're talking to Dennis Mannion. Dennis, what's the biggest thing you've learned from Tom Gores?
Patience, amazingly. First owner ever. He has a passion to win. He's got a passion to be best at everything that he does. But he's also got no small measure of tolerance and patience. And he's been very good to learn before talking, which is unusual sometimes for guys at the top of the food chain. And I think he's also been, in a very healthy way, coached myself through some of the financial rigor that I've had to go through. He's coached me through all that. So he's incredibly patient.
Tell us about Joe Dumars.
Well, Joe, I guess will be the 8th GM that I've worked with. I put Joe on in a circle with guys like Ozzie Newsome, who's with the Baltimore Ravens. Joe blends an incredible feel for the game with a respect for the traditions of the game and a long, long list of contacts throughout this country and beyond. Joe's connected to, I think, every barbershop in every city in America. I think he's connected to all the shoe representatives of all the different teams that are all the different companies that represent athletes all over the world. He's connected to AAU. He's connected to the college level. So here's a guy that knows talent before the talent even knows Joe is thinking of them. So I think he's wonderful in that regard, and really hoping that he can bring us back to the levels he had us earlier.
To date, you've spent $40 million on renovations at the Palace. Tell us about those renovations.
Well, I would tell you that while some are mechanical and things that are necessary to keep the building up to snuff in terms of customer service, like digital menu boards and things like that, much of what we've done is build off the great design that Bill Davidson and his crew had already laid out for us. Now, they built this fantastic Palace and then added another $117 million worth of improvements to it over the 20 years that they were in the building. We've built off that. We've made a lot of cosmetic changes to get the brand tightened up and make the place a great place to be and see an event. And our passion now is to take that building to a place where other buildings won't have an opportunity to go, because we've already got the bones. And to build a new place with 8 different clubs in it and tremendous technology is going to be very hard to match.
Dennis, how and where do you watch a Pistons game at the Palace?
Well, that's a great question, because it's different. Ultimately, I end up in a suite next to Joe Dumars, but I do a lot of walking around, and it's hard not to. We're normally, you wear a lot of hats, so I've got a community hat and a business hat, a sports hat as well, and the only way I can get to the different aspects of the job that I oversee is to walk. So I walk probably a solid pregame and a quarter to 2 quarters before I sit down up in the suite.
Every entity, every organization has a culture. What is the Dennis Mannion culture?
Well, it all starts with the mission behind it. And I think all of us live our lives to some extent, hopefully, on some sort of purpose. And the purpose of our organization is to bring people together and thrill them. So our culture is built on a foundation of values that help us deliver thrilling events to our customers. So we, it's a little complicated, but it's biblical in some sense, in that we admire folks who work hard and stay focused and committed, people with great willpower over won't power, folks that self-improve and team improve and are proactive. And those are that's the template to the individual. And as a team, we have a cycle that we work through. Our folks are very dedicated to each other, and that's how you build a great organization.
When I went to visit you a month or so ago and you walked me around, hundreds of young people. What's the key to motivating young people today?
Such an interesting question. For starters, and this isn't just a smart answer back to you, it's for real, we hire motivated people. Had a owner of the Ravens told me one time, he said, you know, you're a funny guy. You're always trying to motivate and inspire and influence people. And he said, but you ought to understand that you have to hire motivated people to be able to motivate them. So we have some good benchmarks in terms of gauging the folks that we bring on. So we start with a good base. And then in terms of motivating them is connecting the dots with crystal-like clarity to the purpose. So if our overarching purpose is to bring people together and thrill them, we're looking at people and thinking, who are you? What's your talent? Do you bring a thinking type orientation to the group, or more of a relationship-based orientation to our team? Or are you creative or operational? We try to get people in the right positions to utilize their God-given talents.
We're talking to Dennis Mannion, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dennis Mannion, who's been labeled, quote, a marketing genius. Dennis, in today's world, every day is a tryout. And the competition for this entertainment dollar has never been greater. Talk to us about how competitive the entertainment business is.
Well, look, when you look at technology, particularly in the last 5 years, the distribution of the things we watch, the content, is massive and everywhere. So it goes everywhere from a handheld to the monitors in a hotel, a lobby, to an airport, to your car, home, and so forth. So the highways are getting pretty congested with content through different distribution means. But the bottom line in all this is, I used to adhere to a maxim that said that there's no traffic on the extra mile. And that's what we're all about. We're attempting to go that extra mile with the things we produce and provide an edge of inside access and deliver it to people the way they like to get their programming. So you may like to get it on your iPhone or prefer on your iPad. You may like to get it on your television set or on your radio. And we're working very hard to make sure we purpose all the things we do for those mediums.
Talk to us about social media going forward.
Wow. What an explosion. I fought social media and over the last couple of years because I felt on some level social media created a community without accountability. And I always thought, you know, in friendship and everything else, it should be a two-way street. And to me, social media just seemed like a way of communicating without being accountable on any level to friends, family, etc. But what I've learned now is that both through direct influence that social media has and indirect influence that it has, there's more and more direct influence. And the cool part about social media, what I mean by that is, for the first time ever, players and artists can speak in a way that feels very much like direct influence and one-on-one with their audiences. And to me, this is awesome because it's creating an accountability amongst the folks that do the best at making us all so happy because they've got these great ways to distribute content and they're accountable to it. So it's exploding. There will be much more coming. Most of it will be in the form of ways you deliver the message. It's the message that we're all trying to deliver will be more crystallized, but the bottom line is the things we're doing will be sent out in all kinds of ways you've never thought of before.
You've been around professional athletes for 30-plus years. What amazes you the most about professional athletes?
Tenacity. I think there's been so much written about the athletes that don't try hard, the athletes that are overindulged, and so forth. But the bottom line is the athletes with the staying power, and most of the athletes that just get there, have worked incredibly hard during their lives. They've got great, 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 great God-given talent. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, they've worked endless hours to get where they got to. So to me, when I watch a Derrick Rose with the Chicago Bulls go down with a knee injury and see how hard this guy has worked to come back, or watch the running back at Minnesota go down and come back the way he came back, these are people with supernatural abilities in terms of determination. And that's what's amazed me the most. It's just great God-given athletic talent, but it's always matched with some level of determination.
You've been around thousands of athletes in these 30 years. Are there one or two that you say, wow?
Yeah. Well, my wow was early in my career, initially, with Steve Carlton. It's the guy who had an uncanny ability to shut the outside world out and perform, you know, as only he could. But I was blessed to end up at the Ravens and watch the career of Ray Lewis. And I felt miserable for him when he had early trouble in his career. He was involved in a fight where there were two fatalities, and that stain has stayed with him his entire career. But I have never seen anybody deliver more to his teammates than Ray Lewis. The guy literally kept a book on every player on his defensive team, and it was like having a coach within the coaching staff. But then add to it his work ethic. This guy is a guy who puts 13 hours. At times, he had put 13 hours in a day into his workouts. So, and this guy saw a guy that worked hard, guy that play hard, but more than all that, a guy with heart like I've never seen.
We've all heard so many stories about these pampered, spoiled athletes. Tell us some stories about the other side and what great things some of these athletes do.
Well, you know, let's go way back. Go back to a guy named Pete Rose. And Pete had this reputation for being Charlie Hustle and a hard player, but he also got a reputation for being a gambler and a guy that played fast and played hard and so forth. I went to visit Pete with a friend after his career was over with the Phillies. He was back with the Reds as a manager. And I witnessed this guy after a game. He said, let's go over to my house, we'll have some pizza and sit around and chat. And on the way, he stopped off. When he stopped off to get that pizza, he said, I got to do something real quick. And the guy went right to the back of the room, and there were 30 kids in wheelchairs, and he signed autographs for every kid and talked, you know, eye to eye with every parent, told them to hang in there, told the kids, you know, the world's your oyster if you look at it the right way. It was really remarkable. So early in my career, this was back in the 80s, I saw a guy like Pete Rose, who was at the top of his game at that point now as a manager. It was just overwhelming. And through the years, I've seen these acts of charities that most of the players don't want anyone to know that they did. They think it's between themselves and their maker, and they don't want to publicize it and take credit for doing all these things. But I've seen players give away thousands, even millions of dollars to charities.
I've been lucky enough to watch at courtside a few times, games through the years, and the verbal abuse that these athletes take from the fans are unbelievable. Talk about that aspect.
Well, that's so great that you've witnessed that, because now you understand the athlete's true humility. They have an ability, many of them. Some eventually you can explode. I've seen this with the entertainers as well. They have this uncanny ability to shut a lot of that stuff out and stay focused on the positive. Again, back to Ray Lewis. I've never heard the types of things that were screamed at him from, you know, on the field from visiting teams. And I guess there are fans out there that believe if they pay enough money for a ticket, they can say anything they want to another human being. But it never ceases to amaze me the tolerance level of a lot of the athletes.
We're talking to Dennis Mannion. Dennis, you mentioned entertainers. What one or two entertainers just, in your opinion, blows everybody else away?
Well, it's interesting. I haven't had enough exposure to these entertainers to give you a great answer. The limited exposure that I've seen, I'm kind of overwhelmed by, obviously we all are, by Springsteen and what he's brought through the years, you know, to his fan base. But there are new people too. Well, not that new, but Kanye West and Jay-Z. These guys get, you know, kind of a bad rap, no pun intended, from some people, but they're guys that are perfectionists too. Even Madonna, when I was at the LA Dodgers, the level of perfection with which she demanded from the folks that worked for her so she could give a perfect show was overwhelming. So I can't give you one answer, Jack, but there's some great ones.
How do you explain the phenomenon, 87-year-old Tony Bennett?
I tell you, it's a lot of heart, right? I think it's just a lot of heart. I think these, when you're up there on that stage and this is your life and there's thousands of people watching you, somehow you get a reality check in terms of who's really in charge. That's all I'm going to say. And then you realize you've got to bring it. And I think performers like Tony Bennett and so many more, they know they can't do what they're going to do unless they have a little help. And I'm going to just, that would be my one plug for the big guy.
You've worked on both coasts.
Yeah.
And in all four major sports. What is special about Southeast Michigan and the sports fans of Southeast Michigan?
Well, I think I told you when we had lunch, my favorite joke is to tell people that I love to come to this. I love to go into restaurants and bars in this town and see sports on TV because I had 5 years with the Dodgers. Of any restaurant or bar you walked into, including sports bars, and TMZ was on the TV. So I think the way this market has rallied around the big schools and around the four major sports teams has been impressive. And I think they bond as a community around those teams. So that's a highlight for me.
We're talking to Dennis Mannion, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Dennis Mannion, President and CEO of Palace Sports and Entertainment. Dennis, the Michigan sports fan, for the last 20, 25 years, it's been very, very tough economically in this state. We've lost a million jobs in the last 15 years. And sports has been a huge ray of hope, whether it was U of M, MSU, the Bad Boys, the Red Wings, the Tigers. If the Lions ever won at all, they would own this place. Do you get the sense of how important sports has been for giving hope to us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in a town where the economic times, they would come and go in Pittsburgh with the steel industry and its fall in the 60s and 70s. And most of the community hung their hat around those athletes and those teams, gave them a big ray of hope. And I see that here entirely. And the funny part is, I think we all realize when we watch these games unfold that they're won not just with hard work, but with resourcefulness. You know, the playbook becomes a big part of winning and losing and your strategy. And I think that applies to all of us. It's that everything that happens in one short game plays itself out in life. And that's what I see in Detroit. There's great hope. I also think that it's a town that's moved from a phase of just working hard to working hard with resourcefulness.
When Tom Gores bought the team a couple years ago, he said that, I want to win, but I want to do it the right way, and I want to be a positive influence in the community. How have the Pistons been a positive influence the last couple of years in this community?
Obviously, we do I shouldn't call it the standard NBA CARES programs. We do about a dozen programs throughout the city that are NBA-driven. But the bigger initiative, big initiatives are hard to get momentum around, but the bigger initiative for us is a program called Game Changers. We started a program last year that honors people who help other people. So it could be a Little League coach who is a surgeon. He could be a surgeon by day, but he gave up his time to coach kids. It could be someone who runs the blood drive for their place. It could be a mom who works two jobs, one job. Who cares? As long as you're helping people, we created a program called Game Changers to award those folks with tickets to come to the game. And the idea is a little bit like Pay It Forward. We want to tell the stories of the people who have helped other people. And that was where Tom was coming from when we started our Come Together Foundation. So he said, I want to help people who help people. Let's get a momentum going.
Dennis Mannion, in the 30-plus years you've been doing this sports management business, 12 years you've been involved with postseason runs, and including two World Series, a Super Bowl, and an NHL Conference Championship. Talk about being part of a team when you're in one of these playoff runs.
It's so interesting because any coach or manager will tell you at some point during the season, the players take over. And I know with winning teams, there's a point of the season where you feel like the players have it. They're running with the ball. And that happened with me with the Phillies a couple of times, happened with the Ravens several times, happened with the Avalanche, which I rarely ever mention here in this town. But there is this mechanism that kicks in, and it's very much driven by the players and their respect for each other and passion for winning.
In your opinion, how long before the Pistons can feel the team reminiscent of the old days? Isaiah, Dumars, the Microwave, Rip, Rashid, Chauncey, Ben Wallace. How far away?
I think it can happen very fast. On a short track, I think we could have a winning season next year. I think we get on a path of, I would say, you know, and this would be conservative, I think a 3 to 5 year period, you have a championship quality team. And the reason why I say that is we've got a gift in the 19-year-old Andre Drummond. He is a very special player. Most people believe he was the best player in the draft last year as it played out. And he's just getting better. Then we have two guys that are, you know, have been on the rookie all-star teams and Greg Monroe and Brandon Knight. We've got a lot of cap space. So it's a small roster when you think about it. So things can change very, very quickly. So whenever I hold back on my optimism and say 3 to 5 years instead of one, I always beat myself up on the way home because I'm thinking it can change that fast. That's how quick it can go. And I'm inspired by teams like Indiana. They're just all homegrown players that they built through their system. And I think that's the type of team Joe is trying to build.
What are you proudest of, Dennis Mannion, in your year and a half with the Pistons?
I'm proud of the 255 full-time employees and the 1,200 and change part-time employees we have. Through these tough times, which have been tough economically, but also tough from a team perspective, these guys don't put their heads down. And they've carried an energetic spirit through this first 20 months of being here. And I can't tell you how proud I am of just being associated with people that that don't ride the crest of negativity. And they ride every moment, every piece of positive influence, they ride it well.
In the last segment, you mentioned the man upstairs.
Yeah.
What role has faith played in your life?
100%, because people ask me who I worked for. I don't work for anybody but him. End of story. Now, I may work for someone in title, but my driving force has always been set up to how can I please him? That's the bottom line. I think that every day. I think, what could I do today? At the end of the day, is he going to say, hey, you gave me a smile. You pleased me today. So that's the driving force.
You want to be in charge with everything. You have to be in charge with everything. But you got to learn to surrender to him.
Yeah.
And you have to let God be God.
That's right.
That's an oxymoron. How do you do that?
Well, let's face it, they always say the heart of worship is surrender. And I have found with the large number of employees I've had through the years that I serve them. They don't serve me, and I've never operated a company that way. I've never been unfriendly to the janitor mop on the floor, and I've never been overly sensitive to the owners that I work for. It's a bottom-up type of service, and I think that's what's required of me, is to bring vision and order to a company, but do it in a way where you respect everybody else's talents.
You were blessed growing up in Pittsburgh to be around the Rooney family.
Yeah.
In the last 45 years, they've had three coaches, Noel, Collar, and now Tomlin. Talk to us about the Rooney family.
Well, they're grounded in humility. You know, they went 42 years without making it even to the playoffs. So here's a family built on a culture of persistence and determination. What I admire the most about the Rooneys currently is I think Dan Rooney has done an impressive job of becoming the leader of what I would call the middle market team. So you take the top five teams on the top of the food chain and the bottom five and separate them. The 22 in the middle in the NFL, everybody looks up to Dan for guidance. And I love the fact that they've stayed true to their roots of who they are as a football team and built their fortress the way you should build it, the old-fashioned way.
Last question. What advice, Dennis Mannion, would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, nothing's more important than discovering who you are and the talents you possess. And there's a ton of ways to do that, but the bottom line is those things that bring a smile to other people, the things that you do naturally, those are your talents. And I've got an expression called RISE, which speaks to kids, where we'll say we want to help you realize your talents, and then we're going to help you improve them, share them, and expand them, because that's why we're here, is to take those talents and bring them to the outside world. So my advice is rise. Figure out who you are, improve who you are, share it, and expand on it.
Dennis Mannion, God has really blessed you with a lot of talents, and you use them to help other people. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.
Believe in yourself.